This podcast features adults using adult language. You've been warned. Hi, this is Ursangus, and welcome back to another episode of the Battle Res Bears. This is episode number 4, although it's our 5th recording, thanks to some handsome devil who said we should record an episode 0,
yeah.
A.k.a. me.
Brilliant idea there.
Fantastic idea. This is Ursangus. I will be your host this week. With me, as always, is going to be Mudala. Say hi, Moo.
Hi.
So if y'all are unfamiliar with our podcast, welcome. We do like to talk about a couple key issues as it pertains to players of the game of World of Warcraft that you can also apply to things outside of World of Warcraft. This week, we're going to be covering loot drama as far as it pertains to equality inside of your raid team. We're also going to be talking about active listening and feedback, constructive versus destructive. And honestly, entailed in that is going to be how to know if you're good and how to know if your raid team is any good. So, Moo, why don't you start us off on topic one? What do we mean when we talk about loot drama?
I want all the gear. All the gear belongs to me. No ifs, ands, or buts. It's mine.
I mean, that's true. But that's the attitude you're going to run across when... Well, at least more or less, when you start running across people who will bring loot drama to your raid. And make no mistake that... That was my cat, for anybody who's listening. Make no mistake that when it comes to a raid team or any other team, you are always going to have some sort of drama when it comes to rewards. So there's a couple different viewpoints on how to distribute loot, which is technically what we're going to be talking about here. Most raid teams, at least the ones I've been in, we'll try to gear the tanks first. And Moo, why is that?
Well, if the tanks can't take a hit, if they can't hold threat, they're useless.
That's pretty much true. You're always gonna want to gear, and maybe not always, but you'll want to gear your most valuable players first. This may apply to tanks. This may apply to healers, DPS. Maybe not so much. But your key players are always going to be the first things you want to kind of gear up first. Primarily, you're going to be your tanks, because if they go down, chances are, I mean, it's 50-50 most of the time, but most of the time it's going to be a wipe.
But yeah.
Plain simple.
I mean, you do have a battle res available generally, but that's wasting it on a tank is not necessarily... the way you want to have to go about it. If somebody's dying, it should honestly be a DPS, because there can be gaps in getting a DPS up. You can don't have to be immediate. Mm-hmm.
And honestly, the nice thing about gearing a tank first is it does build somewhat of a buffer when it comes to mistakes. The more geared that tank is, less likely he is to die, and the more room for error you have for the rest of the raid. And really, that comes into play a lot more than what you'd think. Now, are we biased because we both play tanks?
No, not at all. No,
of course not. we don't know what you're talking about.
Bias? What? No. I'm offended that you even brought that up.
No, you can take that bipartisanship shit and get out of our podcast.
Now, truthfully, though, you know, the same argument can be made for healers, because if they're not putting if they don't have the throughput, then they're not healing the damage that's going out. People are going to start dying also. Arguments can be made for each role. You really have to figure out how is your team doing? What's important to your team? You know, are your tanks, you know, well enough with their class they can do with a little lower gear? You know, then fine. You know, funnel that gear to your healers, or, you know, vice versa, funnel it to your DPS, because let's face it, as important as the tanks are, you know, as godlike as we are, it's the DPS that actually does kill a boss. I will give them that.
And we are godlike.
Yes.
Let's not mix that up at all. We are godlike. And unbiased. Very important. We are unbiased. So honestly, when it comes to loot drama, you're going to see people who will constantly make an argument for them to get the loot. I've seen some very valid arguments, and honestly, in some cases, you should listen to it. The parts you shouldn't listen to is, I mean, I've heard the stupidest excuse I ever heard was, I'm the highest in the alphabet when it comes to this raid comp today. My character's name starts with an A, so I should be first in line. Okay, get the hell out of my raid.
Using that argument is like saying, well, I put the raid together, so all loot is mine.
No.
Exactly.
No. And I've seen loot council systems that do that. Where, well, I spent the most time and effort getting this raid team together, so I feel like I should be rewarded first. I know a couple people, some pretty recent people who will do exactly that. And thankfully, those people are no longer around. And Moo knows exactly the person I'm talking about. But there are cases where the rationale behind it is so far out of whack. And honestly, you should know your raiders well enough, at least as a raid leader, to know the problem people that are going to crop up when it comes to loot drama.
Well, you know, we're talking about drama. Why don't we go over a little bit about some different methods for giving out what kind of drama would pop up with said methods?
Yes. So some of the methods as far as dispelling loot drama, as it were, we could always talk about, you know, as far as make sure your goals are pretty clear and concise as far as loot rules go. The team I raid with, Facepole, does a fantastic job of making it very clear cut. They have a document you actually look over. And you actually have to sign this, well, not necessarily sign this thing, but agree to the loot rules before even allowed on the team. That is actually a fantastic way to go about things. All right, so as far as dispelling loot drama goes, clear and concise rules on your loot. This honestly primarily applies to anything that's set up for Master Looter or any sort of DKP system. The rules are going to be pretty clear. And you as a raid leader, you have to enforce that. It may suck, especially if you don't get gear. It's gonna suck. But
it does.
And it does. Without a doubt, it does. But at the end of the day, it is better for your raid team that you follow your own rules. The people who don't follow their own rules, at least when it comes to a loot council or DKP system, don't usually last. I've seen it on a number of occasions where somebody got caught editing their own DKP entries for months prior, so they actually had, you know, listed more DKP than they actually had.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's going a little overboard.
That's a thing. And that's one of the downfalls to a DKP system. It's not a common thing by any stretch. When it comes to loot council, that is rife with loot drama.
That just, in my opinion, that just asks for favoritism.
It does. It does. Especially when your council for your raid consists of tanks and healers. Now, you may be distributing loot fairly, but because the people on the council are tanks and healers, there is still kind of a taboo behind that where even though you're not gearing tanks and healers first, it's going to seem like you're being, you're showing favoritism towards those tanks and healers because they're on loot council.
I mean, if you're going to do a loot council, I would think that probably the best composition would just be a three-person, do one of each. One tank, one healer, one DPS, and, you know, try to push it that way. That way there's not any set favorites, because I have seen those before where it's, you know, both tanks and one of the healers. It's like, well, that's brilliant.
Honestly, when it comes to loot council or anything else, there's a couple things you need to watch out for if you're going to be instituting something like a loot council. A, no rogues. They steal all the gear from druids. That's a bad thing. You don't want that.
Oh, it's going to get worse with the damn demon hunters, too.
It is. It is. And in all seriousness, What you need to do as far as appointing anybody on a Loot Council is make sure they don't show any favoritism and that they can actually maintain professionalism throughout any sort of loot drama. Somebody able to keep their cool head during this is, I keep using this word, key. You'll hear me use that a lot throughout all of our podcasts. At least when it comes to council members, you need people who can rise above the situation and watch out for the better health of the raid.
Yep.
So, can you think of any other cases, honestly, Moo, where loot drama would come in?
Well, somebody could, you know, get a little butt hurt. Like, I know one of the raids I do, one of our ways of doing the loot is we basically do like an on your honor loot council, and or not loot council, plus one system, sorry. But one of the things we do with as an exception is when it comes to tier pieces. And that's where your biggest loot drama is going to come in, honestly, is your tier pieces.
And your weapons.
Yeah. Although that should be getting taken care of on the next expansion. Because what I understand, no weapons are going to drop. So, hey.
Yeah, it's all artifact.
But, no, the tier pieces, you know, what we'll do with that is, you know, when tier piece drops, we'll ask, all right, who's going to get a set bonus out of this piece of tier?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'll ask the, you know, we'll ask for consensus. Can we give it to this person so they can have their set bonus, which will do nothing but improve our group? More often than not, it's all right, but you'll always get that one person. Well, I haven't gotten a single piece of tier yet. Well, shit happens. I'm sorry. You know, if the more we can down this boss, the more we can get you your tier.
Right. So, and honestly, I ran across this on Facebook just this last week where I'm going in there and I'm probably one of the most undergeared people in that raid. There's no question about that. But when it came to rolling against somebody else on a tier piece, one of my first questions out of my mouth is the person I'm rolling against, hey, is this a four piece for you? No? Okay. If it is, I will pass because a four piece is more important to you than me for a three piece or a two piece. Now, two-piece elemental shaman is ridiculous. Four-piece is even nastier.
Mm-hmm.
But if it means actually a set bonus for somebody else, myself, I will stop and say, okay, you know what? This is a better option for you. Why don't you take this one? And honestly, being cool and groovy about loot and having members in your raid that will actually step aside so somebody else can get it is perfect. That's exactly the kind of raider you want. Is they're watching out, because that is a great example of they're watching out for the raid instead of the player. So that's honestly my best practice when it comes to that. When it comes to dealing with any sort of tier tokens, is recognize that somebody else may be getting their four piece. Recognize that they are going to need it more, and then it's going to mean the raid is that much healthier because of it.
Yeah.
So bear in mind, this is a team. You work together. Be cool about it.
It brings us back to one of our very first topics, communication. Talk about it. Make sure everybody understands what your plan is, and then talk to each other and see where it's going to be best served.
Right. There are exceptions to any rules. But if you're expecting an exception every time, then you need to review the rules. There are going to be cases where it's going to benefit, you know, a certain person more, and that's an exception. But if it's constantly breaking the rules, you need to talk to your raid leader. It's pretty straightforward. Communication is absolutely key. And we're gonna visit this again. I just know it.
So far, we've visited this every episode. So I think that's going to be our perma topic is communication. Yep.
Communication is key. And there's that word again. So. But honestly, more than anything else, you want to make sure, at least as a raid leader, make sure you maintain professionalism and don't falsely assign values to roles and people. So honestly, I think that wraps up topic one pretty nicely.
Yeah. That didn't go as long as I thought it would.
No, it did not. It did not. And if you have any questions about loot drama and how to deal with it, or if you have a specific situation, I would be more than happy to consult you on it.
Oh, yeah.
I would be thrilled to consult you on this because I can remain fairly unbiased for the most part. And especially not being in your raid team, I know that it doesn't matter to me. I've got no vested interest in the decision on it. So Let's go ahead and the next one is a little. We're probably going to get a little ranty on this one.
It's kind of all over the place.
It is. It is. And we got a great question, and I don't want to say his name, but we got a question from an individual. I think his tag goes by Scotch.
Yes. He's a Scotch. DK on Airy Peak in CTR.
Yeah. And convert to raid with us. So Scotch kind of posed a kind of interesting question is, how do I know I'm good? I took a look at that question and I kind of went, what do you mean? I mean, if you're a Sangus, you're always good.
Unless you're Mudala, then you're better.
Yeah, and unless you're Mu, then you're even better. But honestly, I kind of thought about it for a little while and I said, okay, there's a lot more there than just if I'm good. How do you know if your raid team is any good? And this is not just raid leaders. This is raid team members as well. This is a tough one. How do you know if you're good? Now, Mu and I talked before we started recording, and something he brought up, and I love this. Compare your times, and this takes a lot of effort, but go to a heroic Firelands 25 and time how long it takes you to clear. Now, when it comes to that, don't compare yourself. Let's say you're a Frostmage. Don't compare yourself to a Prot Paladin. If you're a Warlock, don't compare yourself to a Fury Warrior. It's going to be completely different mechanics depending on your class type. And even, honestly, it goes down as far as spec, too, because a Ret Paladin will clear Firelands 25 on Heroic much faster than a Prot Paladin. So, is this going to take some effort? Oh, yes, it is. Because you can't chain run Firelands Heroic. You can't. It's a raid lockout.
Now, let me put in, yes, we're saying Firelands. That is a old content raid. There are still mechanics that are important. There are still things that will slow you down if you don't do it right. So being able to pay attention to mechanics is why we're mentioning this raid. But it's a low raid, so it's easily soloable.
And it's good gold.
Yes.
It's full clear, and that's anywhere between 1,800 to 2,000.
Well, I mean, if you're getting it for transmog for yourself, yeah, you'll get about that much. If you're doing a full clear, like I pull about 22 to 2500 every time I run it. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're not set on transmog gear, which personally I hate almost everything that comes out of Firelands. I'm not a big orange and fiery kind of guy. A
couple of the weapons look okay. There's a couple of them, but that's about it really.
Yeah, and I know everybody's saying, oh, orange is regular 25 in. I get it, okay? Please don't harp on me about that. Heroic is purple. I get it. But Mu is exactly right. There are some mechanics in Firelands 25 Heroic that you absolutely have to pay attention to. Shanox is kind of hard for DPS because of the stun. If you're not a prot class or prot spec of some kind, Shanox will rape your face.
Guardian
will do it. Yeah, I know. Stop looking at me like that, man. But Betzlack is another great example. Betzlack, if you don't burn her fast enough when she's up top, you come down, and it is important that you come down. That's another mechanic you have to pay attention to. She will stun that ever living out of you. And yep. that fight will actually, if you don't burn her fast enough, will take an extra 3 minutes, mm-hmm. which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're trying to do a speed run, it adds up in a hurry.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, for the entire time that you're up top, she's still spawning those adds. Those adds are what stun you, and it's a chain stun. As soon as one wears off, you have half a second to hit a button to kill one, or if you have a big AoE, maybe two. And then you're stunned again. Then you got to wait another 30 seconds. Then you get again. So, and if you have something that'll pop off your stun off of you, well, there's half of those adds are only half of those adds are casting that stun. So as soon as you pop off, you're getting stunned again. So,
yep.
You definitely have to watch what you're doing on that.
Exactly. And Ryolith, the big boss turner guy, where you can only attack his legs. Good luck. You don't think he's honestly all that hard to steer, especially if you're level capped at 100, try it. Rylith, even at 100, is not the easiest thing in the world to steer. And you have to pump up your numbers. And I mean, seriously, blow your cooldowns. Something I had to teach myself a lot, you know, pretty recently, actually, is if you're out farming in Tanan Jungle or you're doing something out there, you still have cooldowns. You still have DPS cooldowns. Use them. They're easily part of your rotation. Even something like heroism is a 10-minute cooldown. Use it.
Yeah.
Be aware of your spells and be free of using them, because that's going to make your time that much better. And it's also going to give you a lot more practice for some of the more current content.
And then there's everybody's favorite portion of that, Major Domo. That guy's just annoying, especially for a melee class, because he keeps jumping behind you.
Yeah. And I know at 100, you're probably going to be able to take a lot of the beatings in there. Don't. Follow the mechanics. On him in particular, he'll keep jumping at you, and laying down AoE. So the idea behind that particular boss battle is to keep your raid team moving. Just because you can take the beating in Firelands to Rogue 25 doesn't mean you don't follow mechanics. This is great practice. And I mean, fantastic practice for getting out of it. Be aware that you're going to have to get out of AoE. When it comes to current content, it's not forgiving. So don't practice yourself into a lull of saying, I can take this kind of damage. When it comes to Firelands 25, and we made some mention of Dragon's Soul before, Spine of Deathwing is a great thing for learning movement and how to raid on the go, essentially. So when it comes to going back and soloing, and I do mean solo, you could take a team in there if you want to. You could probably solo it without much of a problem. And do that. Go in there solo. And honestly, go in there solo on different tunes. Because the mechanics are going to change according to your class. Now, how does that really add up to current content? How do you know if you're good? Well, I mean, that is all very... maybe self-centered is not the right word on this, but that is, you're judging against yourself. So when current content comes out, yeah, you can still judge against yourself through things like Warcraft logs and, you know, Escada and a couple other things. But things like Ask Mr. Robot and Warcraft logs have great tools when it comes to comparing yourself to other people on the same boss fight at the same item level. There are tons of videos out there on how to do Warcraft logs, and there's tons of advice out there on how to do them correctly. Watch them. Start doing your own logs. Most raid teams now are actually doing their, you know, they're uploading logs to Warcraft logs or Ask Mr. Robot. Review them and compare yourself to other players outside of your raid. Not just inside your raid. Because you may have an exceptional player, and you're a decent player, you're never going to catch up to the exceptional player by judging yourself based off them. They will give you some handy tips, but most likely that exceptional player has insane raid awareness or just has practice.
Well, that brings us back to, you know, don't compare apples to oranges either. Don't compare, you know, how you do as a DPS against a tank or whatever. You know, go and look at your class, your spec. You know, compare yourselves to others that do what you do. Because if you don't do that, then you're just not really doing a good comparison.
No. No, you're just going to be spinning your wheels at that point. And that's not going to do you any good. So it's up to you to learn your class. And it's up to you to learn your rotation and learn the fights. Because nobody's going to play your character for you. I'm not going to ask you to join my raid team. And let me think. Let's say we got a player named Sam. Okay. Sam wants to join a raid. Okay. He's got good raid experience. He's looking fine. Idle level spot on. But when I take Sam into a raid, it's like me taking Sam's hand and going, all right, Sam, it's time to raid. Let's go. I can't be bothered with that. I have my own mechanics because guess what? I'm part of the raid too. At no point during a raid should you feel like you have to drag them kicking and screaming into this. And this is, if you're looking for a lot of guidance, probably because you haven't researched the fight. Or either that, or honestly, your raid leader might not have been clear in what you're trying for, you know, particular strategy-wise. A raid should not be like taking a child to the zoo.
It's not that bad.
Hey, it couldn't possibly be that bad, right?
Well, sometimes it's worse.
When you have to save a life grip because the same DPS just stands in fire all the time, that's the DPS's fault. Now, granted, there can be exceptions to that, of course, where, you know, they were caught up in another mechanic. That's fine. That's on them to clean up still, though. Personal responsibility has been coming more and more into current content as of late. There's less room for error and more emphasis on personal responsibility when it comes to mechanics. If you're not following some of these mechanics, it's going to be your fault.
And if you're not understanding some of the mechanics, it's also really going to be your fault for not asking for clarification.
Right. And now, granted, there can be some shared fault there. If your raid leader is not giving you feedback on this, and you're lost, ask for help.
I've made some explanations. Don't stand in shit, kill boss, have a nice day. You know, but that's usually, you know, when we're going back on ultra farm content for, you know, somebody trying to catch up on their, you know, legendary ring or whatever. I just half-ass the explanations. But there are still people that don't understand. And, you know, at that point, that's on me. But I'll be honest, I'm lazy sometimes, don't feel like explaining because we don't need to.
Well, some people only need the footnotes.
Yeah.
Like me, I'm usually pretty good about just give me the footnotes and, yeah, I may screw up once. And I know Echelon will definitely identify with this one. I stood in something on the first night with face pull and he goes, dude, you stood in that. But honestly, the next pull, you didn't take a lick of damage from that same mechanic because I knew I took the damage. I knew it was my fault and I prevented it the next time around. If you are a raid leader and the same person is not asking for feedback and they're doing the same shit over and over and over and over again, I have a couple people in mind when it comes to this. I'm not going to mention any names, but if you're a raid leader and this particular individual is not raiding correctly, they're just failing to mechanics over and over again, crack the whip. Seriously. That'd
be a good spot for a sounder.
Seriously. So, as a raid leader, you have more responsibility than anybody else in that raid when it comes to keeping the raid flowing, keeping the momentum going. If you have somebody who's failing constantly, every week, every day, every raid, every minute, every mechanic, and they're not asking for help, or, well, honestly, if they're just not asking for help, hey, they're not involved in that. They're not that involved in the raid. They're just not. You need to grow a spine.
Yeah. Well, part of that is knowing your raid team in terms of explaining fights. Because I know there are some people out there, cliff notes is what they need because that's all they have the attention span for. They're fine during the fight, you know, paying attention, you know, they do. But when somebody's talking, they start to zone out. Those people, those are the ones you need to be able to do cliff notes for, but accurate cliff notes. And there's some people that, you know, they need the exact step by step. All right. Phase one at 2 minutes, you know, or whatever. We're doing this. We've got to do this. And then it transit, you know, do the whole long full fight explanation. Some people are good with that. So you got to be able to know your raid team. If you have that one member, maybe while you're giving, you know, lock on your microphone, give the long explanations for everybody else, type out the short explanation for that one person. You know, whatever you have to do to get your point across and get people to do what they need to do.
There can be an expectation set up to where people will need to know the fight before you actually pull the fight. Speaking as a raid leader in the past, the chances that somebody's actually going to look up the fight before the fight occurs, not great.
No.
It comes in handy, but you're asking people to take time outside their raid time to do research. I've not had great success with that. I know, Moo, you haven't had great success with that either.
No, I haven't.
Asking people to forfeit time outside of, you know, this is not fun time. This is study time. Asking people to do that, yeah, your success rate's not going to be great. That doesn't mean you shouldn't ask.
No, and honestly, nowadays it's probably a little bit easier to get that done because of people like Line of Sight Gaming. You know, they try to keep their videos, you know, 2 to 3 minutes. They just get the major abilities down, and so that's something that you can watch and then rewatch, because they got, you know, the video and they have some nice animations, so that helps out a lot. There's another one, TLDR, I think it's TLDR Gaming,
or something video, like that, yeah.
Something like that. They do nice short videos as well. People are realizing that, you know, people's attention span or desire to research outside of raid time are, it's becoming a dying thing. So they're trying to make it easier for this to happen. So you definitely encourage, I won't go so far as to say require, because that's being a little too harsh. Although if it were me, I would, but that's why, that's why I'm not really raid leading anything anymore. But no, definitely encourage, definitely, suggest, you know, that brings us back to the communication. You know, we talked about different, you know, things, group me, stuff like that. Have a plan. Hey, this week we're going to start on this boss. Make sure, you know, do a quick brush up or, you know, whatever, and go from there. That would help out a lot.
Yeah. And honestly, again, this goes back to, you know, you as a raid leader, you definitely have to recognize the best format to present it to your raid team in. And me, I'm a footnotes guy. I am completely a footnotes guy, and say, don't stand in this. Watch out when this comes around, and do this when it does. I'm good.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not really good, but it's sufficient for me to learn the fight. Not everybody's going to be like that. If you, as a raid leader, have spent the time going through and you've explained this, explained this, and I see this, and I've seen this in a couple different teams where they've spent, the raid leader spent so much time explaining this fight that they could have easily done 2 or 3 attempts, you know, during this explanation. Okay. A, somebody's not paying attention, or B, you've got the wrong person in the wrong role. And you can approach that how you see fit. I've had a lot of success doing the real talk, as it were, pulling them aside and saying, listen, man, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. You're going to have to clean it up. And you can leave it. I don't like doing it. These are usually very unpleasant conversations. But if you leave it in an open-ended comment like that, there's no or else at the end of that. Leave them to speculate a little bit. I know it's not a nice thing to do. Is it effective? Oh, yeah.
Most of the time.
Most of the time it is extremely effective. But honestly, if you take the real talk approach and say, listen, man, this is what I need from you. No BS. This is what I need you to do on the next poll. And they say, I got this. Sweet. You did your job. If they say they got this and they still don't do it, that's when the more unpleasant parts of the conversation have to come up. So don't be, it is a game. Don't get me wrong. It is a game,
and you determine your level of seriousness when it comes to coaching your team on this. But there are some cases where people get a little too familiar in their roles. They get a little too comfortable. And I know we've made mention of it before. Raiders are not special snowflakes. Something to keep in mind. So anyway, moving on from the grim notes. Wait. So really, when it comes down to if you know your raid team is any good, goals, what are you guys setting out to do? Are you achieving those goals? Are you making progress towards those goals? Just because you don't meet that goal right out the gate doesn't mean you're not going to be able to achieve it. Be realistic on it. Be realistic on what you expect out of the raid team and set a goal line. Said, I want ahead of the curve by this date and work towards that. Or I want to down this boss by this pull, you know, 7 pulls in or 10 pulls in. Set a goal and set up stages for it. Said, awesome. We got to phase 2 ahead of schedule. That's going to feel fantastic. Or we got ahead of the curve 3 weeks early. That's going to feel fantastic, and your raid team's going to feel fantastic because of it. And you are going to have a blast. So set your goals appropriately. Look at other teams that are on your level. How quickly did they do it? And reach out to those raid leaders. Say, how did you set this up to where you guys got that far that quickly? And their method might work for you.
Don't be afraid to set small goals either. So get a boss. Okay. We got to phase 2 once. Let's see what we could do to get to the phase 2 the second time. Like Gorfine, for example, you got your phase 1, everybody's going in the stomach. Then you get the phase 2 where that's your DPS time. You do that multiple times. So try to make it to the second one. And, you know, then you start pushing yourself. Okay. We can down it this time. Get to that second phase, and he's dead. You know, small steps will get you to the end just as well as huge leaps.
Right. Doing the mechanic, one particular mechanic, and just doing it right the first time feels great as well.
Mm-hmm.
Archimonde is a great example of that, where that is a very mechanic-heavy fight.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is.
Getting into your portals for the tanks, get everybody in the first time and everybody out the first time. That's a great goal.
The arrows, just getting the arrows in the right spot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just one thing after another. But honestly, you know your raid team. You know what they struggle with. Set goals accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
And included in that is reflect on your team. You have to be a little bit critical of your team. If they're failing, you have to know why. Figure it out. Look at logs. What was it? Warcraft Logs has a great tool where, I can't remember the name of it right now, it completely escapes me, but it'll actually show a live feed of the fight itself and where they were positioned and what they were casting. It's a fantastic tool. Especially if you go, why did you die? Okay, let's take a look at logs. Oh, that's why you were 40 yards away from the closest healer. What the hell were you doing there?
It was safe here.
It was safe there. Okay. Everybody else is safe where they are. Now, granted, there's always going to be a little play on that. Because they might have another mechanic that was added onto them at the time. There's exceptions to every rule on that. You can't be absolute in that. But you do have to reflect on it. You have to look at the research. If you're having problems on a particular boss, you have to take the time and find out why. Don't bash your head against a wall. Because, A, that hurts. And not just figuratively. That hurts. I've hit my head on a wall. It's not pleasant.
It shows.
Yeah, I know. Hair loss. As a raid leader, and even as a raider, reflect back on what you did wrong. I know we talked about it, I think it's 1 or 2 episodes ago, where we're talking about raid awareness. It is very vital when it comes to that. Be aware of why you died and take take responsibility for it.
So on the reverse side of that, reflect back and see what you did right. Do it again. Make sure you know what you did, you know, how you did that the correct way, so you can do it over and over. You know, that way you don't make that mistake.
Right. Right. Exactly. So I, you know, personally, I like to focus a lot on the negative, what you did wrong, but there are a ton of things you did right. And same, you'll go to the same place for both.
Mm-hmm.
Logs, meters, raid leaders. Ooh, that's a good one. I'm going to remember that phrase. I'll have to go back and listen to my own podcast for once. It's horrible. So honestly, how do you know if your raid team is any good? Are you having fun? Are you killing bosses? That's really, at the end of the day, those are the two key metrics. Are you having fun? Are you killing bosses?
It's the only reason to raid.
Really? And usually both.
Yeah.
So, all right. That wraps up topic number two. And we're going to move on to the Q&As. We actually have some. And they're not from Jack. Hooray!
That's 2 weeks in a row.
Let's keep this going. So we got a question on Twitter from this is at DerekTaylor23. It says, what is the best way to manage defensive cooldown timers as a pally tank? As a pally tank? Necessarily, you don't have to stick to a certain class on that. As a druid tank, I know pretty much when my cooldowns, how many charges I'm going to have. There are a lot of options for it, though. If you're not that familiar with when your cooldowns are going to come up, weak auras is a fantastic one. A lot of people use it. I know I'm going to catch some flack for this, but I do not. I don't like weak auras. It clutters up my screen too much.
Yeah, I've come across that too, and I've been working on that. You can actually adjust the opacity of weak auras so it's visible, but it's not blocking anything. I'm actually experimenting with that right now. It seems to be working better. It's still there, still blatantly there, but yeah. Another thing you can use is tell me when. I'm not too familiar with this. I haven't used it. I haven't really watched anybody that uses it, but I've heard a lot of people talking positively about it. So that's something to look into. And I know DBM actually has a plugin for spell timers. Mm. So if you just want a little bar to show when something's off cooldown, you know, it'll pop it up just like a DBM timer bar, and it'll do the countdown for you. And it'll actually watch those around you too. So that'd be a neat little addition to a raid leader. So you can see, okay, well, this person used this cooldown and it's not going to be up for another minute and a half.
Mm-hmm. So honestly, class familiarity is going to be your best option when it comes to that. But there are alternatives, you know, things like weak auras and tell me when and a couple other things as well. Personally, I know when my bark skin's up. I know when my survival instincts is up. I know when my frenzy regen needs to be hit. All these other things, and that comes with more muscle memory than anything else. But there are add-ons out there, such as spell timers and a couple others that will help you figure that out.
Yeah.
And practice. Practice.
Can't say that enough.
Practice.
Okay, that actually is enough.
Okay, yeah, we're done. So last thing we have here, honestly, is good old Scotch, who we just literally did an entire topic for. We have another question from him. And it reads, my question for you guys is, how do you think you can still raid at a heroic level when consistent time and amount of time you can spend are an issue?
Well, there's two options here. If you take out the consistent time, you can look into open raid. If you know your schedule and it's going to be a set schedule, or even if it's not really a set schedule, if it changes week to week, because I know some jobs do that, you can pull up open raid and see what raids are going on during the times that you are available.
Mm-hmm.
Your other option is the Blizzard Raid Finder. They've done a lot of work on that, and it, functionally, it works really, really well. As for how well the group will be when you get into it, now you're starting to get into the pug rules of it's going to be good. It's not going to be good. It's a hit or miss thing. If it's bad, right. leave. I mean, it's not going to hurt you any. You can always queue up for another group. But if you don't have consistent time, or if the amount of time you have isn't good for a set schedule raid, those are probably going to be your best two options.
And we should clarify on this that when we mean the Blizzard Group Finder, we're not talking about LFR.
No.
No, God help you. I go in there, honestly, I go in there to practice rotations more than anything else. And it's great for that. But when it comes to heroic level, the pre-made group finder is probably going to be your best option next to open raid. I'm sorry you can't raid on a more consistent basis as far as time goes available. I think everybody should raid at least at the first couple bosses of heroic.
Mm.
And if you can dip your toe into Mythic just to see what some of those teams are up against, do so. There's no learning curve there. It's a learning cliff.
Yeah. It's fun times.
It's fun times. It's a blast. If you enjoy raiding and enjoy a challenge, dip your toe into Mythics. And even Mythic dungeons can be a bit of a nightmare too. But as far as options go, that's, it's sad to say, but those are really your only two options.
Now, we're not saying that those are bad options. Like I said, you can find, you can find good groups, through both. It's just going to be a hit or a miss, honestly. If it's a miss, you may have wasted an hour, depending on what your tolerance level is. Some people, and I'm not advocating this. Some people, one wipe, they leave.
We don't like those people.
No, because that's honestly, one wipe, shit happens.
Well, and one wipe, honestly, a wipe by itself, it varies.
Yeah.
The level of wipe, and I know some people don't quite differentiate the difference, but if you can't even get to phase one wipe, if you can't even get through phase one before you wipe, you might want to start looking at a different group. But yeah. if you're just 10% off of killing that boss, stick with it.
Yeah.
There's a huge difference between those two wipes. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind when you're doing pre-made groups. That first wipe, or honestly, just watch mechanics. If people, half the raid is failing to a particular mechanic, you might want to look at other options, maybe a different group.
Yeah, you got to keep in mind also, sometimes wipes occur because people aren't familiar with the other raiders. Mm-hmm. So that first wipe is probably all you need to get that mesh. Yeah, get that feel going to mesh well enough to down the bosses. You may not be, on the level of a consistent group, but you can still get stuff done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a ton you can get done through a pre-made group. Don't let the pre-made group of Kazakh jade you against the pre-made finder. That's a world boss. That's not a raid. That's two completely different things, and people will AFK for Kazakh all the time.
I don't know about what you're talking about there.
Moo doesn't do that at all, right, Moo?
No.
No, of course not. I don't AFK during Doomlord Kazakh. What are you talking about? Anyway, so honestly, there are some options when it comes to rating our heroic level when you don't have a lot of time, or at least on a consistent basis. So feel free to look up Open Raid. And I believe Open Raid is one word. And also the pre-made, in-game. And those are the best two options I can see. Mm-hmm. You can always plug into other groups as well. Convert to Raid is great for that, but I know not everybody is in Convert to Raid, which is sad for them.
Yeah. We have room.
Ton of room. So, that's on Airy Peak US. Please join CTR LFO to ask for any help. Anyway. So, honestly, that will do it for the show here. Now, BlizzCon is coming up.
Is it? I wouldn't know. I'm not going, so I haven't really been paying attention.
Okay, so ignoring Moo. BlizzCon is coming up, and Arsengus went for the first time last year, and he's sure shit going this year. What does that mean to you? I mean, I know what it means for Moo, but what does that mean for you as our valued listeners, except for Jack?
He's going to stop listening and keep that up.
I'll bring it on. There. But now that means that Moo is going to need a hand on November 7th when we record, because Arsengus will not be available.
I'd prefer a voice. I've got two hands. I'm good.
Yeah.
I need a voice.
Need a voice. Somebody who's not going to BlizzCon. We've got a lot of people we know that could probably do it, but they'll be at BlizzCon with me.
You know, your only other option is a podcast of me by myself. And you think we go off on rants, you know, when we're together? I'm going to be all over the place if I'm by myself, because then I won't have anybody keep me on track.
And so, nobody wants that.
Here's your warning.
So, yeah. Yeah, either guest host or let Moo talk for an hour and a half.
I may go longer than that.
That's possible. So if you're interested, hit us up on Twitter at BattleResBears. That's Res with a Z. You can always shoot us an email as well, BattleResBears@gmail.com. Moo, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Moodala. That's Moodahla. And you can find me on Twitch, Twitch.tv. Twitch.tv/Moodala.
Okay. And you can find me on Twitter as well, at Ursangus. It's URSANGUS. You can also find me via Gmail, ursangus@gmail.com. And I think that's going to do it for us this week. Any plans coming up for you, Mo?
Rating.
I think I'm going to work on my Warlock a little bit. I got a little embarrassed and saw some of the numbers that Warlocks are putting up now, and I kind of want to be part of that.
Well, those are good Warlocks.
Right. But I could be a good Warlock.
You could be the very best?
I could be the best around.
All right. On that note, I think we're getting out of here.
All right. Have a good raid, everybody.
Have a good one, everybody.